Terry Bryant joins us this morning. Terry, how are you?
I'm well, Tom. Thanks for having me this morning.
So have you become acclimated to the new job?
I think so. I mean, it's, you know, my boss told me this would be like drinking water out of a fire hose, and he was certainly right about that. It's just a whole lot to take in, and you really have to learn on the run. So, yeah, I'm getting the office is open in Mount Vernon and Murfreesboro, and then, of course, the office in Springfield, and got some living arrangements set up in Springfield, so I can kind of go back and forth and be home as much as possible.
I was curious, what committees have you found yourself on? You know, being a freshman, sometimes you can get relegated to some kind of obscure stuff. I was wondering what happened to you.
No, I actually got the first two of my requests. One was Public Safety Appropriations. That's the Appropriations Committee for Corrections, IDOT, a lot of the law enforcement, obviously, because it says public safety, and I wanted to have a little bit of input on how that money is spent. And my second request was for tourism and conventions, because I really want to continue the push to develop the wine industry in Southern Illinois, and also keep an eye on what's going on with the DuQuoin State Fairgrounds and the activities that go on there. I also got intermodal infrastructure, and I think that might be important for Carbondale going forward. I know that there are some plans to put a intermodal mass transit hub in Carbondale, so I hope to be able to help with that. And then I got some law enforcement committees, in particular judiciary on the criminal side, and I've already been put on a subcommittee for that on sentencing. So as the governor examines what he wants to do in regard to inmates spending long periods of time in prison for nonviolent offenses, I think some of those bills might be kicked to that subcommittee. So hope to have a little say in that as well.
Well, you might, in that Intermodal Transportation Committee, will you be dealing with the proposed cut in Amtrak appropriations?
You know, I'm not really sure, because the committee has not met yet. We had three committee meetings scheduled last week. The Intermodal Committee has not been scheduled yet. Of those three committees that were scheduled, two were canceled, and one lasted 5 minutes. So I think this first month takes a little while to kind of get things ramped up. By Friday, we have to have all of our bills filed. So I think that once we get the bills filed, then you'll see the committees start to ramp up a little more heavily.
So the budget address last Wednesday, the first time you got to sit in the big chamber there. So, you know, that is a microcosm for people watchers. I mean, you can watch the expressions, who claps at what, who doesn't. There's all the dynamic that goes on in that chamber during the time. But what was your takeaway from Wednesday's gubernatorial address on the budget?
Well, there were some things that are going to be good for this area, some things not so good. The positive thing that I saw was that we've received the budget earlier than, I believe, any time in the last 10 years. So we're going to have the next 3.5 months to work through the process. The budget address is, fortunately, it's just the first step. So the governor comes in and says what he wants, and then each party will submit a bill saying what they want the budget to look like. And then after that, the appropriations committees go to work on how that's going to finally look as it comes out for a vote. So we'll have about 3.5 months to work on that. Often in the past, the budget has come out and you've had to vote on it like the same day. So we're looking it over. I think the Republican bill was filed on Friday, so we'll kind of be taking a look at it line by line. The positive aspect that we have a plan for the first time in a long time. It is a balanced budget. The unfortunate thing is that the governor only had to work with what allows a balanced budget. He believes we should adhere to the law, which says that we have to have a balanced budget. So without new revenue, this is the money that we have to look at. So what we're staring at is anywhere between $1.5 and $2 billion deficit just to finish up this fiscal year. And so that means we're looking at, I know you've mentioned a couple mornings, the court reporters not being paid, and in corrections in April, looking at not being able to make payroll. So that $2 billion deficit is staring everyone in the face, as well as the, I think now nearly just over $6 billion and backlog of unpaid bills. And then we're looking at a deficit going into the next fiscal year of between $6 and $7 billion. So, you know, the positive thing is that we have a starting point and we have it early enough to work through it.
When it comes to the budget address, was there anything that bothered you intrinsically about your district in relationship to the budget? Say, for instance, I think if I was in your shoes, I would probably be looking at the local government reimbursement rates being dropped.
Yeah, you know, there are positive and negative things about the budget. You know, we're, of course, kind of watching what's happening with the funding for SIU, looking for the funding to ag, to ag programs in the high schools. Was very happy, of course, to see the increased funding for correctional officers. But we're going to have to keep an eye on the things that are not going to be good for the 115th necessarily. It's really it's the governor's job to look at the state overall, and I want to, you know, maintain that fiduciary responsibility as a legislator, but my heart is in the 115th. That's my job to be sure that whatever pain we're all going to be sharing, that the pain is, you know, as little as possible for the 115th district. So we know, I know, of course, you know, SIU plays a big part of what we do in this district. It's an economic driver, and so I've got to keep an eye on those cuts and some of the other cuts that are in the proposed budget. But I hate to keep hitting on it, but it was a speech and it is a proposed budget. So there's a whole lot of work that has to be done still.
Yeah, when I was speaking with John Bradley last week, he was saying for a lot of this stuff to get done, it's going to take legislation. Somebody's got to write it. Somebody's got to introduce it, because to get, say, property taxes frozen requires legislation.
Right. And, you know, the thing, you know, I listened to some of your interview with John Bradley, and you can kind of hear, you know, as all of us speak, whether it's John Bradley or Brandon Phelps or Jerry Costello, you know, the Southern Illinois is very different from the northern end of the state. But what I'm seeing in Springfield as a freshman legislator, which kind of, you know, gives me a little more courage, is that the Democrat side of the aisle isn't really sure how to respond on some things either. For most of them, this is the first time they've seen a Republican governor. So everyone's kind of wondering which way some things are going to shift. But there is an atmosphere of bipartisanship there. And, you know, I've spent several years there when I was working for coalitions with the state party and through the Lincoln series, and you didn't hear this kind of bipartisan attitude. So I think everyone has a clear understanding that we're really on the precipice of financial disaster in Illinois.
Well, see, now that's interesting, Terry, because that was what I wanted to ask you about next. I mean, we are the precipice, so you do agree with the governor, last best chance to save this state financially.
I think so. I heard, I was at a dinner last night with Senator Luchtefeld, and heard the same thing from him. It could very well be our last best chance, and that's because we do have the bipartisan attitude. You're going to see some bills come out that have my name, Brandon Phillips' name, Jerry Costello's name. I haven't had a chance to talk to John Bradley as much, but I know that that we're all working to ensure that Southern Illinois is taken care of. You know, David Rice has been a big help. He has the district that's just a little bit north of me, just a little north of Mount Vernon. And so there is a real attitude, and people are listening. Tim Snyder, the chairman for the Republican Party, was at the dinner last night as well, and had a chance to talk to him about the importance of the ag programs in the high schools, in particular for, you know, Mount Vernon and Trico and Anna Jonesboro. Those are important things for our young people going forward. And then, you know, I don't think that there's a real understanding up north when you start talking about computers for the classrooms and some of the broadband ideas that are floating around, that many areas of our districts don't even have 4G yet, so or broadband capability. So we're working on those kind of things. And, you know, when we're talking about advancing the wine industry here, ag is a big part of that. So I do truly feel from my heart that the governor is listening. And, you know, you put those proposals out there, and it gives people a place to say, okay, this will work. I'm behind this, and this isn't going to work for us, and I'm not really behind this. And then you begin to negotiate. So it was my number one reason for wanting to be on an appropriations committee. Your voice is heard in an appropriation committee. So as the appropriations committees work, we'll also have to work together so that not everyone is just grabbing. And I don't get the sense that that's what's happening this time in the legislature. This time it seems like everyone is looking at how can we make this work. So I think everyone has kind of a give-and-take attitude, and we need to make it as painless as possible for each of our districts, with the understanding that this has to be a long-term plan. And again, you know, I heard Senator Luchtefeld say last night that often, you know, we're all willing to have a little bit of pain short term, but this is a long term mess that we've gotten into, and it's going to be a long term fix. So we're all going to have to be working together to make this happen. I want to hear from people. I have three offices, and Murfreesboro is open Monday through Thursday. Springfield and Mount Vernon are open Monday through Friday, and the offices are taking down people's comments. I've been getting a lot of emails and phone calls myself, and trying to return those calls personally so that I can hear what people's concerns are.
All right, before I let you go, with all the concerns about money and all the talks about cuts, TAMS and Murfreesboro Youth Center were two things that you had really talked about during the campaign itself, and I know you've got some plans in that relationship. Can you share those with us?
Sure. There is a lady named Marcia Griffin who has been passing petitions to reopen TAMS. So I've been working with her a little bit to make sure that we get those petitions to Springfield on time. But I am working on a resolution that would ask the governor to reopen TAMS as a southern administrative segregation unit. It would be basically the same as what we already have with Pontiac. So the rules are already established. It allows us to put the worst of the worst away from other inmates and staff, would increase the safety within the facilities. And so, you know, when you're taking an approach on that end, we also need to take an approach on the other end. So have them working on as well in that same resolution to work in Murfreesboro as a lower-end facility. I would like it to be a work release center because that's where I started my career. I know you can run a work release center for minimal cost, minimal staffing. That particular institution is already set up with dormitory type setting. It has a fence around it, so we would be able to keep inmates away from the school that's not, you know, that's relatively close, but it would be nonviolent offenders. So I think we have a very good use for that facility that fits in with the rules that the Department of Corrections already has, and it would alleviate some of the overcrowding, and it would also make the facility safer for the inmates and for the staff that are working there.
Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant. Terry, before I let you go, this coming week, anything you can share with us, what you see on the horizon?
Hopefully this next week the committees are actually going to meet, and we're going to go to work on the bills that are already being filed. And as I said, Friday is the final day for us to be able to file bills. I've got a couple that I'm working on. One in particular was I'm probably going to call it the widow's bill, but we always think of all the big stuff, but this has to do with widows and widowers who have to go and pay to have their titles transferred when they've lost their spouse on their car before they can get their new license plate. So I'm working on some small ones and some big ones, but even those small ones are very important to people. So I would watch for those kind of things. Take a look at what gets filed over this next week. Everybody's going to be scrambling to get their bills filed before the end of business Friday.
Yeah, it's a deadline on Friday. Mm-hmm. Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant. Terry, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure.